So I'm Jim Cerrone, architect evangelist from Microsoft, and I'm with the developer and platform evangelism team out of the New York metro area. And today I'm sitting with the gentleman from Chiron.
Close enough.
That's right. And we're going to talk about what their company does, who they are, what their company does, and they've recently started adopting Silverlight. We're going to talk about what they've done there, what kind of business problems they're trying to solve, productivity, things like that, just to give you an idea of how they're leveraging it, what led them down that path. And then we'll talk about when they were implemented, the good, the bad, and the ugly, things they would have liked to have seen go better, things that they just couldn't get to work, and things that they were hopefully pleased with that they really worked. So do you want to start?
Yeah,
introducing yourself. First, you want to introduce yourselves.
Okay. I'm Jeff Walsky. I'm the team lead of the IRB team at Chiron.
My name is Sumit Sani. I'm a software engineer at Chiron. I've been there for about 2.5 years.
My name is Daniel Kim. Same position, software engineer.
All right. So why don't you tell us what your company does?
Chiron is, we make all sort of applications for the broadcasting industry, television broadcasts. So from our sort of cloud-based services, access our content creation in the cloud, to our sort of CGs, you know, the character generator applications, our flagship product, which is called Lyric. So really front to back, from content creation to the airing of the graphics that you see on television, we sort of do it all.
So it's any graphics you see on the screen?
Yeah, like player statistics, you know, lineups for a baseball game, channel branding, you know, you see those sort of annoying little ads pop up on your screen and while you're watching the show, you know, and credit squeezes, you know, when the show ends, you sort of see the credits and the incoming videos squeeze up and then fade back out and that sort of thing. So, and even like the little ratings bugs that you see on television, TVPG and that sort of thing.
So. Okay. So what's the application that you guys developed that we're going to talk about today?
IRB is an application. So typically on a live news broadcast or sports broadcast, you sort of arrange your graphics that you're going to play to air. And you do that by almost building a playlist, just like you build sort of an iTunes playlist or something like that. And IRB is a web-based application. IRB stands for Intelligent Rundown Builder. So you drag assets or graphics from a browser, an active control in the browser, into IRB, and you sort of arrange your graphics as you expect them to play them out on air.
Okay, and this isn't a brand new application. You've had it in existence. Is this a rewrite that you did with Silverlight, or it was brand new?
No, actually it was brand new.
Okay.
It started out as a prototype that, you know, we were sort of part of, and then these guys took it over for like a month, and we got it out real quick, and it was sort of slapped together. And very quickly did we see the complexity with all of the, you know, front-end JavaScript and that sort of thing. And the experience that our customer wanted was sort of a desktop-based experience with drag and drop and tabs and nested controls and nested lists of graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, copy and pasting and stuff like that. So we were sort of presented or with the choice of to go with Flex or Silverlight, and we chose Silverlight for various reasons.
Can you talk about some of those reasons? Or
yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, we started off with Flex because our Access product actually is written in Flash and Flex, but we wanted to explore possibilities. So we first started with Flex, and we tried it out, and the first thing we noticed right off the bat was Flex Builder cost money, which we didn't have, so that was one obstacle. And we tried it out, though. We tried the demo Flex Builder, and it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. I mean, they had tons of controls that we could use. It was very, you know, easy out of the box, but we quickly realized that ActionScript with Flex was not as powerful, or at least not as familiar to us as C# and .NET framework, so we quickly moved over to Silverlight, and my opinion, I think we're way, way better off, especially with previous knowledge and the experiences we have with C# and .NET definitely carry over. Like, you know, it's really a good transition.
Excellent. And did you self-teach yourself with Silverlight? Did you go to training? Or?
It's pretty much self-taught.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember when I first started doing XAML, I'm like, well, what is this? I actually didn't like it in the beginning, but it quickly grew on me, and it's actually pretty powerful. So
yeah,
really glad I went to Silverlight route.
And how about the overall stack? What are you connecting to? Do you have your own proprietary systems in the back for asset management, or do the customers, do you have to hook into the customer's own systems, or how does that?
Yeah, it's actually pretty complicated the way it works. We have this ActiveX control, which is next to the Silverlight application, and that's communicating via web services to our asset manager, server, whatever you want to call it. It's called Cameo. Mm-hmm. And that has all the assets on it. And basically use that ActiveX control to gather the templates, we call them, and create the playlist in IRB by dragging and dropping.
Do you have any feedback from the customers saying, well, you know, you're still using ActiveX, we can't run this on our Macs, or, you know, you're killing us here, guys?
That was one of we wanted to leave the option open of being cross-platform.
Yeah.
We're still stuck in ActiveX with our sort of asset browser component that sits side-by-side with IRB. But a lot of artists in the broadcasting industry, they're based on the Mac platform.
Yeah.
So eventually I think we'll transition that ActiveX control to Silverlight and basically be two Silverlight controls side by side.
Technologically, is there anything in the control right now that you can't accomplish in Silverlight, or it's a matter of just time and resources?
Actually, the integration with the ActiveX control was pretty seamless. I mean, the sort of the bridge, you know, between ActiveX and Silverlight is JavaScript, and dragging from ActiveX into Silverlight was a little pokey, but it worked fine. I mean,
and that is getting better in Silverlight 4.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're looking forward to. Although right now it works fine, you know.
But if you were to rewrite the functionality that the ActiveX control provides and eliminate the ActiveX control, do you believe you could do that in Silverlight, or are there limitations?
Yeah, it would be fine because right now the IRB Silverlight client talks to a IRB WCF-based web service.
Okay.
And the ActiveX control also communicates to the Cameo web service, you know, just using SOAP. So mm-hmm. the integration from the IRB Silverlight client to the WCF service was easy as pie, and I can only imagine that if we were to port the ActiveX control over to Silverlight, it would be just as easy.
And was it really just the three of you that knocked this out, pretty much?
Yeah.
And it sounds, I mean, I don't want to summarize, but it sounds like it was almost a Skunkworks type project. At least it started. You guys wanted to show that, hey, this is something really, a great value-added service application we could build out for our clients. And then you got the attention of people that would sign off on it. So from a development perspective, did you guys have like a sophisticated application lifecycle management, or was it more like shooting emails with attachments and saying, hey, let's, you know, here's my code?
We try to adopt, you know, agile practices, so mm-hmm. we do our Scrum sprints, 3-week sprints, and you know, for it's a small company. I mean, it's 100 people, but only about 20 to 25 developers, and we have a product management department. So engineers communicate closely with product management, and we show them what we got every 2 or 3 weeks, and they ask if they're happy with it, and if we need to make any changes. But we like to sort of consider ourselves as very responsive to customer feedback, so we try to stay on our toes, or customers keep us on our toes at least.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, any kind of models you used and how you really architected this solution. So,
in our WinForms application, we typically use the Model View controller pattern, but with Silverlight, there was a lot of buzz in the blogosphere about a Model View model. So we quickly realized that was one of the better ways to go, and we realized in Silverlight they didn't support commands like they do in WPF. So what we did was we kind of mimicked what WPF did in Silverlight by writing our own, you know, boilerplate code for commands, and we made it work almost seamlessly as it would WPF in Silverlight.
Yeah, I think it was Josh Spitt actually sort of modeled it after. I think he wrote an article on sort of data binding any mm-hmm. or a button in Silverlight to a particular command object, and we sort of took that and ran with it by extending it to any event on any UI element, and you can data bind any event on that UI element to a command object.
Yeah, so we start, like Jeff said, we started off with a button and quickly went to our custom controls and basically everything on the UI was a command. So what we did was all of our controls had a backing model with the view model. So we control the, you know, like the state of the buttons would be in the view model, the state of the menus and all those things would be in the view model. They're activated or deactivated. And in our view would basically data bind to the view model and it would control the state of the UI. So disable the disable button, enable the enable button, and that's pretty much it.
Why don't you talk about the permission?
Oh, right. Yeah, so one of the features of IRB is user management. So users can log in and they can have different permissions. Some people can perform like opening rundowns or closing rundowns, deleting rundowns, and we needed some way to lock the UI so we couldn't do that if they didn't have the permissions. And with the command, it was pretty much, didn't even take much work at all. It took probably 2 or 3 hours. We used attributes and reflection to determine what commands had which attributes, which permissions, and if they didn't have the proper permissions, we just disabled the UI, and that worked pretty well.
Yeah, so each command object was sort of part of we used sort of a layered architecture. So you sort of have the presentation layer and then the application layer and an infrastructure layer. And what the presentation layer command objects did was sort of farm off of the work to an application layer. So there were services behind the commands that called out into our web services. And since all of that has to be done asynchronously, very quickly did we see it get complex. Because if you were to sort of have multiple asynchronous calls back-to-back, you sort of got this ugly-looking set of code. So the initial thing that we did was almost sort of did a very primitive type of parallel extensions thing that Microsoft is now coming out with, where we encapsulated our asynchronous computations into tasks. And the way you would chain these tasks up is you would do so through a sort of an async enumerator. So the second asynchronous computation in the chain would only be invoked if the first one was completed successfully. So with the task-based framework, it actually worked pretty well, but we knew that parallel extensions was out there, and to sort of rewrite it was probably not the best thing, and obviously it does much more. So then I guess what's coming out now, or what's available in Microsoft Dev Labs, which is the RX framework or reactive extension, I'm not sure what they're calling it now, but that makes asynchronous programming even easier. You treat these asynchronous calls as a stream of events coming back from the WCF web service, and that's something that we're sort of looking forward to playing around with in the future.
That's great. So what you've implemented already, though, that's you're using your own custom task-based scheduler.
Yeah, we Jeffrey Richter.
Sure. Name we all know.
Yeah, he came up with the async enumerator, where you sort of use C# iterators to yield work to whatever's attached to that iterator or whatever's iterating over it. So we're using that now, and it's pretty ugly because you sort of see these yields within the middle of the asynchronous computation. But for now, it's worked, but it could definitely be done better. And, one of the reasons that we chose Silverlight was just to stay in the Microsoft community. Mm-hmm. You know, they're building this very nice community with Channel 9 and CodePlex and that sort of thing. So we didn't want to leave that.
Yeah.
And now that all these things are coming out and all the tools and TFS we use at Chiron for automated builds and that sort of thing, all those tools that are available in on our desktop apps are available for IRB and Silverlight apps. So there's really no sense in leaving it.
That's good. And hopefully it'll just keep getting better and better.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our goal. So what about are you guys starting to look at other projects, other applications that Silverlight makes sense, or is that
I think that ActiveX control, which we call Lucy, we want to move over to Silverlight, especially on, I don't know how they do it now on Mac, or if they even use the form of Lucy on the Mac. Or, no, I don't know. But, yeah, that would be one thing. And our access, cloud services, which has become a big part of Chiron.
Yeah.
They started out in Flex and Flash, and they're sort of the access guys have let us know the horror stories of working with binary Flash files and how you work as a team with those files how do you detect the changes and differences between them and that sort of thing. So I think they scared us on that a little bit as well.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. All right, good. So we're going to talk a little bit about, CodePlex and the community, the .NET community at large, and then Silverlight communities. There's lots of frameworks and other reusable code bases out there. There's a lot of people that, once they solve a problem, they post it back up there for other people to use. And let's talk a little bit about what you guys, what value you found in there. What have you used?
In searching for, we had the ability to drag and drop assets or graphics that people put from Lucy to IRB. And we needed the ability to drag and drop so they could actually order assets around, like what Jeff mentioned, to make a playlist to be the first, the last, and the middle to drag and drop. And I was looking, Googling, and I found a project called Blacklight in CodePlex. And it had drag and drop ability, and you could actually collapse it and expand it the way you wanted to, so you could just collapse the one you don't want to see and expand the one you want to see. And I spent a few hours, days. days trying to manipulate what he has written with Blacklight and try to accommodate with what we needed. Mm-hmm. Because the expanding collapsibility that he had kind of needed to extend outside of what he had. So right now we have a drag and drop. That's the Blacklight, and we kind of manipulated so we can have multiple drag and drops within that control itself. So we actually order stuff around as a container, and within that container you could still order assets around. And that's been a big help in creating IRB, because IRB is basically a rundown builder, so basically creating a playlist, and we needed that kind of flexibility, and I think people seem to like how it's working, I think.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that we needed something like this was because we had a tab, and then within that tab we have a list
of,
and then within that list we have other
items, items within that list.
And all of these, you can be dragged them around.
We tried with, like what you mentioned in the beginning, we tried with prototype JavaScript, and it was possible, but the code was getting uglier and uglier because we have list within the list within the list within the list. And but Blacklight really helped us.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of data that could be manipulated in different ways to make the list. So one of the challenges a lot of people have is just how do you visually represent that so it's intuitive to the users. Did you have to spend a lot of time on that, or was that something you pretty much had squared away? Or did Blacklight, you looked at the way they did it, you said, hey, that looks like an approach we could take.
The way I saw Blacklight was really something similar to what we needed. So I kind of did some sketches, and I was passing to Jeff Smith to ask him if this looks okay, and then we all agreed this, this looks terrible.
Yeah, I think Smith did the original drag and drop with, JavaScript. And you have to do all these hokey things. Like, what did you do? Put a text box in between the items?
Like a little, one hop on the way.
Yeah, exactly. The proper spacing and drag and drop so you know what it dropped.
Yeah, sure.
Put in the text box and it's really ugly.
So, obviously, it's not just a Silverlight front end. There's a back end component to this that feeds data, provides all the services and all of that. And a lot of times complexity and development staff trying to work in parallel, you have dependencies, I can't really test my functionality or even get going until I get something back from you. And then you have the concept of contracts that you write, this is what I'm going to expect and so on. So how did you guys have issues with that? How did you attack that problem? How did you team up with your back end and front end, make sure everything meshed when you were done? and that it all worked properly together.
Yeah, so, well, Dan did most of the front end, and I think he used Blend, Expression Blend, to lay out the controls and to visualize them. And I was working mostly on the back end at the time. And we both were working in parallel, it was working out pretty well. And when it came time to hooking it up, we used the model view models. Basically, he was working on the view, I was working on the view models and the models, and using the data binding that Silverlight provides, and the designer in Visual Studio was very easy.
Okay, yeah, looks good.
Okay. Just something. Pretty much what I was going to say, because I worked on most of the front end.
Yeah.
And it'll take time on my end, it'll take time on his end. And then we'll always say, oh, let's get together and just put everything together and just kind of, I don't know, worked with data binding and especially with the command stuff that we had.
Yeah.
And it's just,
yeah, to talk a little bit more about the community, there's sort of this alt.NET community that I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. And with our desktop-based apps, we were using things like APIs like RhinoMox and Inject. And sure enough, when we were starting on IRB, there was a RhinoMox version of or a Silverlight version of the RhinoMox assembly, as was the case for Inject. So, you know, sort of what I said before is that everything that we were familiar with in the .NET environment was available for web-based applications. So using things like Ninject and RhinoMox definitely
helped. So now we talked about all the good stuff. This has been positive, and I was a little bit with some trepidation. What about the bad things? What would you like to see improve? What were some things that you would have liked to have accomplished, but the products or the technologies just aren't there yet, and we need to get? Were there any things, or maybe?
Yeah, I think these guys could talk a little bit more intelligently about it, but the Visual Studio Designer, at least in 2008.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same experience as WinForms, to say the least.
Yeah. That's either you're an expression or you're very limited in what you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, not to defend everything you say, that we agree with that, and 2010 that will be improved and fixed.
Yeah, manually writing markup is not the most fun thing to do.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So the least we could do with that, the better, I would say.
Yeah.
Some of the things that you see in Blend, you don't really see in the designer in Visual Studio. You're like, oh, can I actually write this? Yeah.
Yeah. How about, was performance fine? Or do you think there's major performance enhancements? Major is a relative term, but there are performance enhancements, Silverlight 4. But, you know, for a lot of applications, Silverlight 3 is fine, but I don't know the nature of it.
Well, I think a lot of the other teams at Chiron are looking at things that have to do with video streaming and that sort of thing. So that sort of those sort of features coming in Silverlight 4 are definitely interesting to those guys.
Yeah.
Unless I talk about binding, flex binding.
Yeah, I mean, I guess another thing that we're working on is, at least for the next version of IRB, is the ability for one client with one rundown open, and as he works or she works on the 7 p.m. rundown, any other user of that same rundown sees the changes that anyone else is making.
So you're trying to make it collaborative.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in order to do this, we're using the polling duplex binding offered or available with Silverlight and WCF.
Sure.
So we're currently experimenting with that sort of thing. We've read some things on the scalability of that and how many concurrent clients it could support well. So that's one of the things that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And in order to handle that sort of thing, I've been playing around with the Reactive framework lately. And since all the calls are asynchronous and we're treating changes that one client makes propagating other clients as a stream of events, we can use Reactive Framework, so we sort of treat it as an observable collection, or whatever you want to call it. And the interesting thing about that, though, is as you're communicating with web services, timeouts can happen, and all sorts of bad things with the network can happen. And how you treat an exception of any sort gracefully and continue and renew that connection and reestablish that connection and resume the propagation of notifications coming from a remote client is an interesting problem.
Yeah, that is. I'd like to see, once you guys tackle that, I'd like to hear more about how you do that. That is challenging. You're seeing that with more and more online products. Google's done that. We've done that now, where people can collaborate more effectively through the web, and it's a challenge. It's not trivial. So,
one of the other things we noticed between the WinForms and Silverlight, especially in the WCF space, was the bindings that are available on WinForms and regular .NET applications aren't available in Silverlight. And originally, we were using the WSHTTP 2007 binding for using session state when we're doing it in JavaScript. And that wasn't available to us in Silverlight, so we had to switch to the basic HTTP binding, which didn't pose much of a problem, but it would have been nice if we didn't have to switch over to that. But I think the Silverlight 4 will improve on that.
Yeah, because we're using our WCF services are hosted on IIS, so we can use all the ASP.NET goodies that come.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Any other bad stuff to say?
I don't think so.
Hold on. I mean, overall, the experience has been pretty good.
That's good.
Because really there was some sort of hesitation in that initial month or two that we were like, because the good thing about Chiron is that, you know, management wants the job done, and they leave the technical decisions up to us, the engineers. So it was our decision to go with Silverlight over anything else, and there really wasn't a time in that period where we're like, oh, crap, we made the wrong decision.
So that's good. Excellent. So, all right, so we talked about a lot today. This is great, and I think a lot of people are going to find a lot of value in this. It's always good to hear real-world, real-life experiences using products, especially when you go through what worked, what didn't. Sounds like, you know, you did get value out of using the communities out there, which is great. I know a lot of people have the attitude, too, that if I don't write it myself, it can't be good. But there is a lot of value in reuse. So I'd like to thank you for coming here today, and we look forward to, you know, hearing, especially about if you get this collaboration piece working. I'd love to talk to you more about that. I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in how you tackle that problem. That is a challenge. It's a very complex problem to solve. So thank you for coming out to our office in New York. And
thanks for having us.
Thank you. All right. Excellent.